may be seated. The sermon this evening comes from John chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 16:1. John chapter 15, starting with verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for being clear with us and telling us even the difficult truths of life. Help us now as we see this difficult truth. Help us now to apply it to our lives so that you will be glorified as we think rightly about the things that we face in this world, so that we will be kept from stumbling as you have told us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife and I, we've made it a policy to tell our children the truth. It may seem kind of strange to actually have to make that sort of policy, but as we look at the world, many parents, they choose not to tell their children the truth. They tell them whatever is convenient, or they tell them whatever will shut them up. They'll tell them whatever will make their child happy in the moment. One of the examples of this is going into the doctor's office. We go into the doctor's office, and if they're going to get a shot, we've always told them, now this is going to hurt. You can expect this to hurt, but it's going to be okay. Now, we've seen other people tell their children, this isn't going to hurt at all. This will be fine. And one of the examples of this, one of our children went into the doctor's office, and I think there was a shot going into their mouth. And the person administering the shot said, now, this is going to tickle a little bit. And when they gave the child the shot, they wrenched and cried out and began to cry. And when the person left the room and the person acted like our child had done something wrong and wrenching and jerking and pushing them away, our child looked at us with tearful eyes and asked, why did they lie? Why did they lie? Why did they say, this is going to tickle a little bit, when it actually hurt? Well, our God is not the sort of God that says, hey, once you're saved and you go around speaking the truth, it's going to tickle. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. You're going to run around and everybody is going to love you because you're telling them the truth. He says the exact opposite to us. He says, as you go out into the world, and you share what I've said with you, what I have said to you, what I have told you to say, they're going to hate you. They are going to hate you. But he says these great things. And he says, but they're going to hate you because they hate me. And he says, they hate me because they actually hate God. So as we go into our families and we speak the truth and they hate us, we find out that we are actually in really good company at that point. I was speaking to someone recently and I was dealing with one of their children. And I had to go to the parents afterwards and say, well, they blame you. And the parents asked for what? And I said, everything. They blame you. They blame you for ruining their life. And I said, but you're in good company because they blame God for ruining their life too. You know, sometimes it can seem like a rather cold comfort, but the reality is, and you can take comfort in this, when you are being hated because you are speaking the truth, you're standing with Christ Jesus. When you're being hated for speaking the truth, you're standing with all the apostles. When you're being hated for speaking the truth, you're standing with all the prophets of old. When you're being hated for speaking the truth, you're standing with Stephen, who stood with his face shining like an angel. So how do we deal with being hated? We love. We love. We commit ourselves to loving. We commit ourselves to loving even those who hate us. And we see this reality that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. We look at Jesus. He loved you. Loved you. Does love you. Loved you when you hated Him. When you were dead in your sin, He loved you and laid His life down for you. We look at Paul and what was going on with Paul. Paul, after he's being beaten with rods, thrown to lions, Paul as he's being shipwrecked, Paul as he's being naked, Paul as he's stuck in jail, says, if I could go to hell and save these people, I would. You see, here Jesus says, I command you that you love one another. And then he goes through this whole outline of the hatred that we're going to face. And he says, these things I have spoken to you so that you may keep from stumbling. So what would a stumbling look like for us in this context? Is it falling into one of our old familiar sins? It could be. But specifically here, a stumbling for us would be falling and not loving. It would be going to the place where we are no longer committed to the good of the people who hate us. And you who are experiencing the world and have experienced the world, you're finding out. When you speak the truth, your co-worker hates you. We find that reality. You can go into this world and you can pick any of the 10 commandments and go and stand for that commandment and people will hate you. For each of those commandments, individually, and even in evangelical circles, you want to stand for the Sabbath? They're going to hate you. Now Christ says, listen, it's okay if people hate you. Expect people to hate you. For so they hated the prophets, so they hated me. And they do all of this because they hate the Father. Now as we look at this idea, and this, the message tonight is to continue to be committed to love in the midst of hatred. If they're hating you, keep loving them. And falling out of love or not loving would be falling into a silence. We would say, fine, I'm done. I don't stand for the truth. I will not love their soul. I will not be committed to their good anymore. But to continue to love would be to be committed to and staying in that relationship with them. And to continue to speak the loving truth to them. So our first step is to commit to love. Commit to love. And we look again at verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. The idea of love and the idea of following any of these principles, it requires a commitment in our lives. I have talked to many people and we've talked about areas where they'd be going into difficulty and going into temptations and going into trials. I was talking to one young man and I said, okay, So after I laid out all of the issues with the temptations that he was going to face with the opposite sex throughout his life, I asked him, are you committed now to wait to marriage? Are you committed? And he said, I think I'll just have to wait till the situation comes up and make my mind. That's not it. That's not it. That can't be how we do it. If we're going into situations where people are difficult and people hate us, we can't just think, well, I'll just kind of stroll into this situation and see how things go. But we commit ahead of time. We decide, even if they hate me, I will continue to love them. We need to write it on our hearts. Understanding the reality that Christ has said, I command you, go and love. You see, wrestling is a great sport, because I think it is. And you go out and you pit your strength against one other person's strength. You lose at wrestling, you can't blame anybody else. It's not this guy that didn't pass the ball enough. It's you who laid on your back and you failed. In wrestling, if you're put on your back, it's this dreadful thing. We were even trained that you never lay on your back. If you go home at night, you don't lay on your back. You don't lay on your back in your bed. You never lay on your back. It's this place of submission. We would call it counting lights if you're laying on your back. And if you got pinned, that was it. You were disgraced. You weren't allowed to be pinned. Well, this was so ingrained in my reality and so ingrained in my thinking that the other night at Kung Fu, a man flipped me and threw me down on my back, and something just triggered in my mind and this roar came out of my soul, and I rolled this guy heavier than me off of me. And Amos comes to me afterwards and says, Dad, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, That call you did, that roar you did, and James explained to him, that's a wrestling distress call. You know, you can't be on your back. You can't be stuck on your back. It's ingrained in you. You can't do that. You're committed to staying off of your back. As Christians, we have to be committed deep down, written on our hearts, that we love. We love. We love as Christ Jesus has loved. And if someone speaks poorly about us, calls us ignorant, we love. If someone calls us stupid, we love. When people call us foolish, we love. Because we have been loved. We have been loved. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And I love this scenario and this situation when Jesus is talking, because somebody's like, yeah, but who's my neighbor? Now, who am I supposed to love? So Jesus picks the most unattractive, the most disgusting person that the whole world, that the whole community was prejudiced against. He tells a story about a Samaritan, who were the people that were rejected. If you were going towards a Samaritan town, you wouldn't walk through the town. You would go around the town just to avoid these people. He says, this is who you love. This is your neighbor. You know, if it was today and he asked, who would you love? Just go ahead and think of the people that you can't stand. Think of the people that if you were walking down the street and you saw them, you would go to the other side of the street. If you were in a fellowship dinner and you went upstairs and those people were there, or that person was there and they were at a table by themselves, you would grab a chair and you would sit in a corner rather than sit by those people or that person. Loving the unlovely. Those who actually hate us. And this brings us to our second move, and that is love in the midst of hate. Verse 18, if the world hates you, You know that it has hated me before it hated you. That before you came onto the scene, before you came into the situation, they were already hating Jesus. They already hated Jesus. So it was already in their heart that if you are in Christ Jesus, they were going to hate you. So this isn't they hate you because of who you are or your personality. It's not them hating you because of the choices that you make in your life. It's them hating God, and you come into the situation representing God, so they hate you. So we deal with this, and we find ourselves needing to love our enemies. Loving the enemies of our own soul. Loving the enemies of our own life. Loving the enemies of our holiness. And loving the enemies of our very message as we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus goes on to explain the situation that we find ourselves in as the world hates us, as our co-workers hate us, and sometimes even as the members of our own household hate us. And this move here, the third move, is be separate as you stand with Jesus. John 15, verses 18 through 19. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. So if your coworker hates you, if your biological brother or sister hates you, if your parents hate you, they're hating the Christ in you. They're hating the one who has all authority over heaven and earth. But this doesn't leave us separated from anything good. You see, the separation that we experience as our co-workers or family members hate us, it's that separation that verifies that we are in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus touched on that separation there in 1 John 3:1. John expounds on this idea, saying, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And that is a separation right there. We're dealing with a separation that was spoken about in the Garden of Eden at the fall, that there will be an enmity, that there will be a battle, a friction, a strife. This was foretold in the Garden of Eden that we would have these struggles, that we would have this war. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. So it's telling us here that this division, though it may grieve us, that we may struggle with being rejected by people, their rejection is ultimately of Christ Jesus. And we are secure, and we have our personhood, we have our existence in Christ Jesus. This brings us to our fourth move. We've already touched on this. They hate you as they reject God. So this doesn't leave us in a place where we say, oh boy, gee, I really wish they liked me. Oh, I wish they hadn't called me ignorant or stupid, or I wish they hadn't called me judgmental. But it brings us to the place where we have our person and our being, and we can get down on our knees, and sure, we can be sad about it. We can be sad that they reject the truth. We can be sad that they reject Christ. But we know that we are in Christ. John 15, 21. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. And so the tension isn't you. I had a talk with a man who was describing one of the problems with homeschooling. And he says one of the problems with homeschooling is your kids won't be used to people not liking them. And I can see that. And I told him, well, I make sure I tell each of my kids once a week that I don't like them. It's not true. I don't do that. And he said, well, it doesn't count. He said, that wouldn't count anyway because you're their dad. They live with you. And there is this tension and there is this trouble that we go out and all of a sudden we're like, oh, somebody doesn't like me? My whole school liked me. My whole church liked me. It was okay. But we see, and Jesus warns us here, kids, you who are homeschooled, those people are going to hate you. They will. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because they hate Jesus. And that's the reality. But that doesn't undo us. You know, those of us who grew up in a Christian school, and sure, there's tensions there, and then we go out and we get a job someplace, and all of a sudden, not everybody believes that homosexuality is a sin. And people start to hate us. They don't like us. And they call us cruel or judgmental. They think of us as stupid. That's okay. That's okay. It's more than okay. It's good. We stand for the truth. We stand for Christ's truth. And what Jesus does here, he ties this truth to love. It's not that we're hating people if we speak against a lifestyle that's sinful. But we love as we do it. We're committed to people's good as we do it. And if they hate us, we say, well, that's okay. Jesus loves me. And that's the reality of my life. And we move to our fifth move here, and that's keep Christ's words. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And this looks like a few things. It looks like baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it also looks like teaching them to obey all that God has commanded. You see, we go into the world with this purpose. And he goes on to say there, and lo, or behold, or look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If they hate you, I am with you. If they can't stand you, I love you. You're with me and you stand with me. And this brings us to our last step. If you're going on your outline, there's probably one hole there, and I would insert another one. The first way that I penned this, or was thinking of it, is in the midst of hate, testify. But I'm changing it to in the midst of hate, rejoice and testify. Rejoice and testify. If they're hating you, great. Great. If they're hating you, wonderful. At least you've got their attention. If they're hating you, you're not being silent. If they're hating you, you are witnessing. Verses 25 through 27. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, this hatred gives us this beautiful fellowship, a fellowship with the apostles. You know, I would love to meet Peter. Love to. I'd like to wrestle Peter and just see how that would go. I would love to meet all those guys. I would love to know those guys. You know, we look back and we look at Jeremiah, boy, and we look at Nehemiah. Wow, we love him. What would it be like to have fellowship with Nehemiah? To meet Isaiah? To meet Daniel? Tell me about the lion's den. But the Scripture teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If they're hating you, you're having that fellowship with Peter, with Paul, with Isaiah and Daniel and Nehemiah. And that's fun, and that's great, and that's exciting, and that's beautiful. But how much more so that we are existing in fellowship with Christ Jesus as people hate us for speaking the truth in love. So Jesus has said these things to us, and he tells us in chapter 16, verse 1, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." And our stumbling again in this context would look like us just being silent. It would look like us just finally shutting up. It would look like us withdrawing our affection and no longer caring for those who are rejecting Christ. But he says, don't. Don't stumble. He says, don't give up. He says, "This I command you, that you love one another." And this is part of the great calling of the Christian life, the second of the great commandments. And as we love Christ Jesus first and our neighbor after this, it sums up all of the law and the prophets. And we live in this beautiful place as we are able to love even and even especially those who hate us. Pray with me. God, our God, thank you for the opportunity to love with you and even to suffer with you. Give us hearts that are committed to love those people who are prickly or even abusive. And be glorified as we walk in the footsteps of Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Nehemiah, Peter and Paul and John. As we walk hand in hand with your Son, Christ Jesus, and as we walk with you, thank you, God, for this opportunity to love in your name and to live as your Son has lived, to live for you in this world. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 70.